throne of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally.
It's good to see you guys tonight. I want to repeat, it's an honor to be here. Lots I'd like to say about how good you've been and how good it's been to be here, but I just don't have the words for it. So I'm just going to say thank you very much. You know, I hear a lot of people talking about the harshness of missionary life and all that, and I suppose for some people it really is, but you know, I got a good wife that supports me, and I got a little girl who obeys me. Man, I had good elders there in Poland I could submit to, and I can trust them. And I work with a couple there, Corey and Magda. Man, it's been just fun working with them. And I look at my life and I go, just something bad's going to happen. I feel like those lepers, you know. Some mischief has got to be coming. Because it's just so good when you're on the hilltop. Yeah, I'll get the call tomorrow, I'm sure. But it's just been good. The Lord Jesus has been good to me. He's been good to my ministry. And I just thank you guys for your support and for your prayers. And that you continue to do both those things. I'd appreciate it. Look at Philippians chapter 2. You know, in the Bible it says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Amen. I don't know about you, but that makes me glad. Amen. You know, he could have left us in darkness and under the power of Satan, couldn't he? He could have left us deaf. He could have left us dead in trespasses and sins. He could have left us alienated from the life of God and blinded in our hearts. He could have left us the children of wrath. But praise the Lord, he didn't. Amen. Now, what good thing are you going to do in light of this great salvation in response to the great need that you see in people all around you? You know, I've been talking about that for the last couple of days. And I'd like to finish at least my part of the series tonight talking about personal responsibilities. Personal responsibility shared equally by everyone. Accountable, each person, all people be equally accountable also. I say, well, wait a minute now, Brother Steve. Are you saying that Brother Billy has, or I have the same responsibility to evangelize as Brother Billy? Well, he may have more and some, but I'm not talking about Brother Billy tonight. I'm talking about you and me. How about Brother Joey? He's a missionary on the field. Don't you think he has some special responsibilities to evangelize? Well, maybe he does. I'm not going to talk about that. What I'm going to talk about is the personal responsibility that we all have, each and every one of us who have been saved by grace through faith. What responsibility to evangelize do we have? Well, we have some. And on Wednesday night, I talked about it. I talked about the implied responsibility that we have. That is, preaching the gospel, sharing the gospel, just because people are going to hell and we can do something about it. And we'll be held accountable for doing something about it. But tonight I want to talk about explicit responsibility. Being responsible and accountable just because God has commanded us to do it. Just because He's commanded us. For example, in Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, it says, whoa, I'm in the wrong spot. He says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Now this to me is a black and white command by God to shine as a light, to shine or to bring forth the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, we're quick to claim the blessings of God. We are. And it's good. I like the blessings of God. And we're quick to claim the promises of God. And that's good. I like the promises of God. But are we equally as quick? Do we desire with the same amount of zeal, to the same hunger, the commands of God? You know, I hear some brethren hauling out when some of the preachers get up, Lord, bless him. Bless him, Lord. You know, I don't ever remember hearing anybody shout out, command us, Lord. Command us. And I know what the difference is, but it strikes me as in my life, I do a lot more hunting for the blessing and promising than I do the commanding. That's just the way I am. I don't know if everybody else like that. But his command here is to shine his light. Now, I don't think he's talking about a moral light. And I don't think he's talking about a religious light. I think he's talking about a light that is going to be the answer to a crooked and perverse generation that is lost in trespasses and sins. He said, well, I shine as a light. I cut my yard. Got a kind of nice house. I pick up the trash. Well, good for you. You've done qualified yourself as a Mormon. Yeah, but I got a short haircut or I wear long dresses and look, no tattoos and well, good. You just graduated to Jehovah's Witness. Is that all the light you got? Does this light shine in a way that brings someone to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. If not, your light is a problem. Yeah. That's not much light. This is the light that we need to shine in a way that brings people to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's the command of God. Look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 36. It says here, now which of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? You know the story. This is the story of the Good Samaritan. Everybody knows what the story of the Good Samaritan. Lost people know the story of the Good Samaritan. In fact, Hollywood's got a couple of movies about the Good Samaritan. I've never watched them. I don't know what they're about. And I don't think, for all the people that know the story of the Good Samaritan, I don't think any of them know what a Samaritan is, for the most part, you know. But they know what a good Samaritan is. Now, Jesus asked a question here, and he wants to know which one of them was neighbor. But in verse 29, if you look at that, it says, but he, this is that guy, he's answering the question. He tells his story to answer this man's question. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? I want you to know that Jesus asked this man a question. This man is trying to justify himself. You know why he's trying to justify himself? Because he's unjust. He ain't right. He's not doing what he's supposed to do. But he's trying to justify himself. So Jesus then tells him the story. And when he gets down to verse 36, read that, and then he answers in verse 37. He said, he that showed mercy on him, then Jesus said unto him, go and do thou likewise. He got the right answer. You know, I know you got to be saved in order to see some spiritual things. But not this. The command to go is so simple and so plain that you don't have to be a spiritually minded man to understand that it's something that God wants you to do. That's why Mormons send missionaries. And Jehovah's Witnesses send missionaries. And other Catholics send missionaries. Well, they all send missionaries. Why? Well, because it says right here, God said go. All right, which one did the will of the Father? Which one did the will of God? Which one knew the mind of God? Which one obeyed the word of God? Verse 37. And he said, well, he that showed mercy on him, he got the right answer. He got the right answer. And he said, go and do thou likewise. You know, knowledge is no substitute for obedience. And here's the command. Now that you know, go and do thou likewise. Go and show mercy. Now, I'm not talking about going to Africa or going to Mongolia. Well, maybe I am. Maybe I am talking about going to Africa and going to Mongolia. We'll sort that out later. But one thing you should do is no matter where you are, you should be going and doing this to the people that you're with at the time. The command to go is for you right now, wherever you are.
Right.
Talking about family and friends and co-workers.
Yep.
The twofold command is to go and do. It's not an American idea, and it's not an evangelical idea, and it's not even our idea. It's God's idea, and it's God's command to each of us. We can each have that assurance of knowing that regardless of where we need to go eventually to do this, we are commanded to go in any place that I am. I have that assurance. It's Scripture. And it applies to each one of us equally. I don't say these things to condemn you or to pressure you, but rather I admonish you and encourage you to do what God commands you to do. I want you to be all that you can be, or be all that you should be. I want you to be all that God wants you to be. I want you to be all that God has commanded you to be. I want you to be all the world needs you to be. Listen, I could, I could probably come up with some more of these bees. But just know you have, it's your responsibility to go, and my responsibility. Go show mercy to those that are lost and headed for hell. We're talking about explicit responsibility. Go to Matthew 28. This is simple. It shouldn't take long. I'm almost done. I just want you to see that you can have assurance. You don't have to sit around and twiddle your thumbs or twiddle your fingers or just be distraught about not knowing the will of God. You can know the will of God on whether or not you're supposed to go. Matthew 28, 19 through 20. You know, that's going to be a problem. When they go to electronic Bibles, me and that little iPhone, or I don't know, what's the other kind called?
Android.
Me and that little Android, we don't get along. It may take me a while to get to some place in the Bible, but it's going to take me a whole lot longer to get there on an Android, you know. All right. Matthew 28. 9:30-20. It says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Gosha? No. Sarah? Stand up. Gosha? Sarah? Sit down. All right. Modern Christianity, to me, has lost the ability to interpret these verses. Note that here God commands you to go. He commands you to go and win souls. I don't care if you do it with your money or your energy or your time, whatever you have to get this job done, the command is to you to go.
Amen.
But in American Christianity, these verses are known as a Great Commission. What does that mean? I mean, did I commission Sarah to stand up? Did I commission Sarah to sit back down again? I'm not sure. Well, if this is the Great Commission, does it apply to me? Well, I never got anything in the mail. But what if we called it, instead of the Great Commission, what if we called it the Great Command? That would settle a whole lot of issues. I know who the command is for. The command is for me.
That's right.
And the command is for you. And the command is for all of us equally to go.
Yep.
Go to your neighbor. Go to your family members that are lost. Go to your co-workers. Go to your boss. Go downtown. Go in Texas. Go to the world. It don't matter where you go, but you better be going or supporting the people who do go.
Amen.
Be involved in the work of going.
Amen.
To obey the command of God that He has given you. It's a black and white command. I was thinking that there's some things that Jesus did not say in this text. He did not ask you to go, and He didn't ask me. He did not reason with us to go. He didn't show us the need and then say, "What are you going to do about it?" He didn't commandeth by saying, no, he didn't say, what did he say to Isaiah? Who shall we send? Jesus commanded us, go ye. Given this command to go ye, that came straight from the lips of our great Lord and Master and King and Savior, then what do you think your personal responsibility is?
Amen.
Is it that hard? It's that easy. It's that easy. Now, if you have the command to go and you have not yet gone, why are you waiting? Well, I'm waiting on the calling of God. What are you going to do? Call you on the phone? What do you mean? You're going to look up in the clouds in the sky and it writes up there, okay, Steve, now you can go. What are you looking for? Are you looking for some kind of impression? What does an impression feel like? Like indigestion? I mean, how can indigestion tell you to get up and go any more clearer than this command of God in the Bible? God is not going to call you on the phone. Well, he might. I don't want to put any limitations on the Lord. He can do whatever he wants. But there is no need for God to call you on the phone because he's already told you in the book.
Amen.
Listen. Don't you use I'm waiting on the Lord's call as an excuse not to go. This is not something we do because we feel like it. Not something we do because it's convenient. It's not something we do because we're good at it. This is not something we do because we have a little extra time or a little extra money or a little extra whatever. These are all excuses used by people who don't go. For reasons why they don't go. That's what those are. Excuses. We do it because we believe God and we love Him enough to obey Him.
Amen.
Any way you look at it, we have the personal responsibility to go and tell others about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
A world is waiting for us.
Amen.
Let's go.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead and stand and take your yellow songbooks.